You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.
We're from football and step into more serious topics as we look towards our youth and the idea of banning social media in Trinidad and Tobago. Well, just for the space of youth, there is a discussion happening about restricting the youth on social media, and I'd like to welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM our guest this morning. It is Mr. Nigel Figaro, second vice president of Tutor, and also Mr. Kerry Brooms, industrial relations officer, I believe, on the Zoom today as we discuss the idea of social media and teens and adolescents. Should they be banned? Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Ms. Martinez. It's Nigel Figaro here, and with me I have the first vice president, Mr. Adish Dwarika. And his portfolio is in line with a lot with education matters this morning. The Brooms is not here with us right now.
So good morning to you both, gentlemen. Now, let's first start off with understanding why put this proposal forward now in terms of social media for young people. What started the discussion?
Thanks, so a pleasant good morning to all the listeners on Freedom 106 FM. Now, there's a multiplicity of issues, and I think we saw a number of countries throughout the world would have gone that particular direction where they would have banned the usage of teens in social media. However, this is nothing new to Trinidad and Tobago, because in Trinidad and Tobago, there was a bill that was passed in 2015, and that is the regulation of mobile devices in the schools bill. So it is something that the various ministers of education have been looking at over the past years. One of the major things causing a lot of deviancy within the secondary school, especially in Trinidad and Tobago, is the use of social media. So, for example, if we look at many of the incidents, the fights that are taken out of the school premises on the roads and on the streets and whatnot, they stem from issues coming from social media. And I think that the Ministry of Education is now being aware of that. They are looking to put things in place, you know, to regulate something like that.
Mm-hmm. Now, as you mentioned, many countries around the world have taken to banning social media for children under a specific age. Australia has done for children under 16, and that has been effective since December 2025. United Kingdom proposed a ban on social media for children under 16, and it's expected to take effect of spring 2027. Canada has federal legislation introduced to bar children under 16 from social media unless companies can prove their services are safe. What structures or frameworks do you see this ban being implemented in Trinidad and Tobago? Also keeping in mind that many teachers and persons who are in the education field use social media to an extent for educational purposes.
Well, yes, social media is heavily utilized by our educators. They use the Google Classroom. So a lot of teachers would tend to use WhatsApp and these various tools. You're asking how do we see this being materialized?
Mm-hmm.
I would think that the powers that be, they would need to really look at how they're going to implement it. And a lot of the responsibility is also going to fall back on the parents. I know the ministry would have signaled going forward that they're going to be introducing legislation that are now going to be holding parents more responsible for the actions of their teenage children, especially within the school environment. And I will say this, what we have seen over this past academic year, we have two instances where threats would have been made to teachers using social media. I was just trying to remember which medium. It was TikTok. I think it was TikTok. It was some TikTok threats, right, being made to teachers from two particular schools. And the investigations did reveal that one was a student and one was a past student. So we are seeing that trend where our students now are also using social media irresponsibly, I would say, and also now to, you know, inflict that type of chaos within the school forum as well too. So, I mean, the use of the social media and the responsible use of social media, that's a big factor. And I think that the ministry is going to look at the way in which parents and the role in which parents would also play in social media in this aspect as well too.
The thing is, we know that it is really a choice as to how students view the platforms and how they utilize it. Do you think that education needs to be directed towards how to use these platforms and also look at what the intention of the student, by extension, parents as well? But since we're looking at the school system itself, do you think education should start there first? There should be a campaign for that?
Well, most definitely, because we must recognize the importance of technology. We must recognize the importance of social media and AI going forward. We see within recent times that CXC would have indicated that they are allowing students to use AI for their SPAs and even other assignments. So the challenge there for the Ministry of Education is to find that medium, that middle midpoint, mm-hmm. where they teach that responsible behavior to the students, to the and their parents as well. But of course, that aspect of education where they ask the students to use it in a manner that would be beneficial to them. Of course, the challenge there for the ministry, there's also challenges for the students. Because if I am unsupervised at home, right, and I have access to social media and I have access to the internet and to Wi-Fi and whatnot, right? It means, therefore, there are many other things there that would be, I would figure, more interesting than doing research for an SBA project and whatnot. And that is a challenge there. Now, how do the Ministry of Education curtail something like that? Do they do it by legislation? But how do they actually do it? Because, to be honest, as a child, as a young person, as a teenager, there are much more important things on social media for me to look at, for me to have fun, for me to celebrate, for me to, you know, to before I go to the education aspect. So that would be one of the major challenges. How do we mitigate against the proper usage and what an education is one? But then again, internet and etiquette and all those things have been around for a long time. How do we get our parents, how do we get the students to buy into something like that? And that is the challenge for the Ministry of Education.
And also, I would think another challenge would be the socialization aspect of it, because as adults, we utilize social media for connection, for organization of events, etc. It could be the same for young people as well at a different level. How do we define what usage looks like?
And again, as I said, that would be the challenge. Now, we have the what we would consider to be the responsible students mm-hmm. who understand the value of using the internet and social media and whatnot. But then we have the others who may not value them. Their value is that it's entertainment. It's purely entertainment, and that is where the challenge is. So you would find that the more responsible ones, they would be using it in a profitable way. They would be using their Google Calendar to remind them for exams, for end-of-term exams, for research, for papers that they are doing for things. They would be using it in a positive way. Mm-hmm. They'd be using it to get additional research and to whatnot, whereas the others, purely and strictly entertainment. And I go back to a couple of years ago when I was doing some research at university there, and one of the things that I was looking at affecting young people was addiction. And, you know, when we did the research there and we looked at addiction, right, or the most prominent addictive thing to youths was pornography, and in the United States of America and the Caribbean. So pornography was high in terms of young people's addiction and use of social media for that. So there are many who will be looking at that, right? And of course, as I said, the gravitation towards that aspect and to do research is a choice that the students will have to make. The challenge there is for parents, for teachers, and the Ministry of Education now to educate them, right, to train them, you know, to persuade them, to motivate them to use the social media in that positive way.
Yeah, I just want to add as well to Tuska. For this to be successful, and you're asking how is it going to look, I as always push that we need a very strong education campaign. This cannot be successful without parental support. Because as my comrade Dorica is saying, if you leave it up to these teenagers, they're already addicted to social media, right? That's already in their blood. It amazes me the way these teens operate now with social media and these in online interactions. But we need a very strong education campaign, and that education campaign needs to start very early on, right? I will tell you this, I have a 6-year-old and he's already updated in social media. So that education campaign needs to start very early on. We need to set clear rules, set regulations, right? Parents need to find that balance as to how they're going to allow their children to use social media. Parents need to learn the apps. I will tell you this. I would share this a little personal story. My wife is also a teacher. My wife and I, we have a teenage daughter. When she passed SEA and she got her cell phone, we said, okay, no Facebook. Because again, we are a little older. Facebook is the main social media platform. And my daughter was very comfortable with no Facebook because she complied with no Facebook, but she's on TikTok and Instagram and all of these different things. And I told my wife, I said, maybe we need to relook and rethink the way in which we implement our social media guidance with her, right? So again, education is key to the success of this strategy, because if they implement the laws or they implement the regulations and there's no educational backing where they make parents aware and even the teenagers aware and the students aware, then it would just be regulations on paper and it wouldn't serve the purpose that it is intended to serve.
All right. So you can join in the conversation, listeners, at 306-1065 or send your calls to 625-2257. 627-3223 is the number. So in that vein, we've got a voice note here. Join in the conversation. Let's hear what they have to say.
Morning, Tuska. You know, another parent was telling me about their son, who's in form one right now. And Monday, he started to get these text messages from what he thought was a young lady, right? And, you know, he told himself, boy, I get you, this nice girl texted me. The person sent photos of themselves and so on. And he thought she was going to one of those convents. And they had big, long conversations and they were making plans to meet up and so on. But, you know, thank God his father works for Homeland Security. And I can't remember how his father got wind of it, but when his father investigated the situation, it was actually a grown man that was texting this young boy pretending to be a girl and wanted to meet up with him, right? And this just happened a few months ago, right? So that's how dangerous social media can be. And apparently the guy was just entering random numbers in WhatsApp and looking at the photos that come up and deciding who to target. So that's a very scary thing. So if your children have devices, you have to keep monitoring them and looking at everything that they do.
Thank you so much for your contribution. And that reminds us adults that there are so many reports already of persons utilizing social media to purchase things and ending up in some very precarious positions. So that is for adults, far less for children. There's phishing, online scams. Well, he just talked about catfishing. So that's that as adults we have to deal with. Now, he mentioned monitoring. What would monitoring look like for children? And what section of policing do we have in place to do that?
So we do have a cyberbullying section in terms of the Ministry of the Police Service, right, where they look at cyberbullying and whatnot, right? So that happens. Now, of course, the ability or the competency of the officers there, I cannot question it, but of course it's going to take a long time, right? Because the unit, I think, is a young unit, and they would need a lot of training. Now, and there are a number of things that parents can look at. And of course, they need to establish age-appropriate rules for the devices and social media, as my comrade would have mentioned earlier, because it goes back to, I think it's 2018, where a young man attending a very prominent secondary school chopped his mother's hand because she refused and she limited his use of the device, right? So, and that is how addictive this particular thing can be to social media, right? And he was one of a prominent school in Trinidad and Tobago, a first choice school, right? And this is his reaction to be limited. Parents can monitor in terms of having parental controls and privacy settings, right? So like, for example, in my situation, I have two teenagers as well. My wife is also a teacher, just like my comrade, and they have cell phones. Their cell phones belong to me, basically. I have access to their cell phone at all times so that I can check, I can verify, I can see what is happening. Not that I want to mark one that I do it, but if I feel there is an issue and whatnot, we have the conversation and, you know, I ask them to share and whatnot. I don't have to go and check. But that's the relationship that we will have to have as parents as well, right? Keep the devices in common family areas. Right. And from the time we do something like that, they will know that, listen, daddy, mommy, you know, can access my device, can see what is happening. So obviously they would be very careful in terms of their interaction. Right. Discuss online safety. And this is something that sometimes parents, we don't often deal with because we trust our children, or some of us really don't have the time to monitor our children 24 hours a day. Right. At 1 o'clock in the morning while you are sleeping, they're online playing a game. Or engaging in a discussion inappropriate with some person that they feel is their friend, right? So there are a number of things. Teaching our children, of course, personal information with strangers. So we let them know we are not to talk about our addresses. We are not to talk about where our parents work. We are not to talk about what kind of vehicles they're driving. We are not to give any kind of personal information out in conversations online where strangers are involved, right? Even friends. Right, even their young friends, because there has been a number of occurrences within the secondary school system where friends get information, share it with their brethren, share it with their comrades and whatnot, and we have robberies and whatnot taking place as a result of that. So there are a number of things that parents could do, but the main thing that my comrade would have impressed upon is education. And not just education for the children, education for parents, education in the school environment, right? So that we teach the responsible use of devices, we teach the responsible use of social media. And that is a start. It's going to be a lot of work. It's going to be a lot of work. There's going to be pushback from the youth and whatnot. There'll be pushback from parents who say, listen, I need to communicate with my child. I need them to have WhatsApp. I need them to have Instagram. I need them to have X and Y and whatnot. So there will be some pushback, but education to me would be the key going forward.
Now we are talking about monitoring, so we do have to talk about privacy. What does privacy look like for a teenager?
Right, so I want to answer that question by starting off with giving a scenario of what actually happened in America, I think 2 years ago, where we had a teenager committing suicide. And when they did the investigations, is because this teenager was confiding in AI. I can't remember which particular platform it was. I was confiding in AI and was using AI as somewhat of a counselor, a confidant. Mm-hmm. And then this teenager putting certain information into the AI, and then the AI kind of feeding back the information, because that's how AI works, right?
Mm-hmm.
And eventually the teenager came to the conclusion that, you know what, I need to commit suicide, because if I commit suicide, I would be with this AI, but, right? And that's the thing. Those parents only found out after the fact, right? And they were devastated because they lost their teenager. So it's to me personally, asking me that question, what does privacy look at a teenage level,
mm-hmm.
when it comes to social media, when it comes to cell phones, when it comes to these different things? I don't think that there should be any boundaries, because at this teenage years, you need significant guidance. You need significant guidance because the pathways are not clear. And you know, there's a teenage fable where they think that this could never happen to me. And teenagers, their hormones, they're still in that developmental mode. They're not making the best decisions. So that's where I really don't think that they should have any privacy issues there. Mm-hmm. So like my comrade say, they share a device. So the device are his. It comes to him. I would tell this. I would tell parents this. My daughter has WhatsApp, but her WhatsApp is on my laptop. So every time I open my laptop, I can see her WhatsApp. Not that I always go through it, but I know you have to be in there in your children's lives, because social media exposes them to so much more than when we were teenagers, per se. Because now
it's a whole lot more. It's a totally different world, different language. So adults find it difficult. I mean, I've been honest, watching my nieces grow up and my daughter as well. Sometimes I have to stop them for a second and say, can you speak English? I know that you're speaking English, but it does not translate for me the way that it should. So can you, you know, cue me in on what the slang means and what does it mean to the abbreviations, all of that? And, you know, we thought that our parents were old school and just wanting to cramp our style. So it's quite different. We were getting some calls a little while ago. I would ask for callers to call in again at 625-2257, 627-3223 is the number. And I am also thinking about if there is young people listening at the moment to call in as well and give us your point of view as to what you think about what the tutor representatives today are saying in terms of social media. Do you think that they need to go as far as suggested, or is it that we are not giving you enough credit? All right, 625-2257, 627-3223 is the number. Let's take in some calls. Good morning.
Hello, yeah.
Good morning.
Pastor Jack here. Yeah, well, I have two teenagers, and to be honest with you, I do what 20 and 21, but I don't.
But that's not teenagers, fast track. You say 21.
Yeah, we're going to 21 and one headed to 20 and 21. But the thing about it, I don't monitor the social media. I don't have any restriction on them. But to me, so far, I think, from what I recognize, I think they're a bit under control. I do see them in any, as far as I'm aware, they're not in any extra or any extra activity, or so I don't know. I can't say, but as far as because they have no room by themselves. So there's been Michael's most approximately, more or less. I'm watching it, but I know it's a challenge. This thing challenging the rule. Eh?
Mm-hmm. So what do you suggest, Fast Track, in Trinidad and Tobago? Do you think it's necessary to ban children? Well, y'all, actually, let me ask this question first. What age are y'all asking for the ban to be implemented?
Right, so
hello. Yes, I'm asking my guests today, what age are you suggesting the ban should be from?
Right, so we, as educators,
go ahead. Right,
so as educators, it's going to be difficult for us to suggest a ban, because one of the reasons is that we have to look at the positive use of social media and the technology within the classroom, and the direction in terms of, like, CXC, as I indicated before, mm-hmm. that they are using AI. So it is going to be difficult, because where do we draw the line in terms of positive usage of social media? Because it has its benefits to a student in terms of doing research, in terms of getting additional information, in terms of being prepared for a particular class or session or topic, as the case may be. There are benefits to it, and it is here. It's not going to go away. So as educators, we would want to explore that so that the children can learn from what they want to learn. The chalk and the talk and thing is something of the past. So we would want to introduce social media. We would want to use the technology and what to keep their interest, to motivate them, mm-hmm. right? So at the same time, we have to recognize the disadvantages or the negative effects of it, and that therein lies the challenge. But for a total ban right now, we need to think carefully in terms of the banning, but more leaning in terms of responsible usage of
it. So, in other words, you would think that, I'm asking if this would be a suggestion to target specific platforms rather than a total ban on social media?
Well, that is an idea, because we see, I think it's in Japan or China, right? They don't use TikTok, and they things that they produce, they don't use that at all, right? They just get the monetary gains and whatnot, but their children don't get involved. So for us to go down that road, it is something that we may have to do. We may have to, but the research has to go in. So we may have to research in terms of what is happening on TikTok, what is happening on social media, the benefits, how many negative things were reported, cyberbullying thing were reported to the police service and whatnot, and then of course make a decision based on that, right? So the decision that we are making in terms of banning or limiting and whatnot has to do with proper research being done, information being used in order to do something like that. Because, as I said, there are students who depend on it, and they use it very resourcefully. They use it very wisely, and it is going to limit them in a sense.
Especially right? Those who are far distances, especially, I would think, post-COVID, the use of online classes, online resources helped a lot in getting projects done. So if those things have been applied post-COVID to assist in classrooms, that should be considered as well. Let's take this call, 625-2257, 627-3223. Hello, good morning.
Hello.
Yes, Fasha.
Yeah, what I look at there, right? I think what we need to do is guide the children better from young. Because what happened, we let the children uncontrollable. Actually, this is our babysitter, too right now, right? So just you hold them down to that, and you get to do it. So we need to positively, people who have young children and who intend to have children, we need to really put structure in place of order. You know, we could use that same device to kind of like teach them to, you know, in terms of like adapt and diet. You know, we allow them this, they have our games and these machines, and them games real addictive, but you see adults all, try to see adults for hours and walk around and play these games. It's very easy. So at the end of the day, there's nothing we could do for, there's no impact we can make sudden or no. No huge impact or results, but what we can do in our little way, train people and prepare people in order to kind of direct the children to kind of use the device in terms of, okay, we can't get them out, we live in a device. Though. So they use the device to kind of like learn and aid them at a young age. So don't let them be uncontrolled. I know it'll be hard in most situations, but let's see how best we can do.
All right, thank you, Fast Track. 625-2257, 627-3223 is the number if you want to chime in on the conversation. The lines are open, all right? Also, let me put this to you as educators as well. This is the period of time where you guide students into career paths. Understanding that AI formats such as TikTok, Google, and all the other work-related platforms that make it easier for not only education, but for workspaces to organize group projects and online discussions, share educational resources and announcements, connect students with global learning communities and experts, support remote or hybrid learning scenarios, encourage collaborative problem solving and critical thinking, and prepare them for the world of work. Where do we find the balance? Because more and more, we're seeing that more traditional ways of doing things are being left behind because of advancements in technology. How do you find the balance?
Well, that's an interesting question. And when I was listening to your question, and you're thinking, how do we find the balance and how do we guide students into the world of work? I'm thinking of how the world of work has changed over the last few years. Just recently, we had iShow Speed coming to Trinidad.
Yeah.
Now, let me tell the callers this. I had no idea who he was. I still don't know who he was. But the hysteria that he and the hype that he generated, and then I did a little research, and the type of, it's his network, all coming from social media. And again, we would have our children seeing this and they would think that, okay, Now, as a content creator is a viable job going forward. So, I mean, these are also factors that we need to factor in when we're looking at the ban on social media. We have our own, we have some prominent content creators here as well too. Jamel Samson, Junior Lee, Kyle, as well as a lot of others. And you see that they're building a career from social media. So as much as there are a lot of negatives to the social media, there are quite a few positives, right? My daughter, and I want to use this example again. I keep referring back to my daughter because this really, I'm talking as both as an educator and a parent here. She is in Form 3 and she's now having to pick subjects and career paths. And she used AI a lot, right, in order to give her that background knowledge and, you know, to broaden her horizons as to the group of subjects that she can take and with the different options. And I looked at that and I remembered me doing that at that point in my life. The information was very difficult to get. The information was very difficult to get. And, you know, it really limited the scope. So, again, the social media and technology as we have it now, that could be a very useful tool as we guide these students. But again, it always comes back to the adults in the room. And the adults in the room, as your caller would have alluded to before, the adults in the room need to set the tone, need to set the pace, need to set the direction in which that we are going to. We cannot leave it up to these teenagers. We cannot leave it up to these teenagers, yeah? So that's what I wanted to add to that.
All right, let's take a call. Hello, good morning.
Hi, Tosca, good morning.
Good morning.
From the Teachers Union. Nice to hear you all on the show, and good morning to all of you. You know, we're living in a time now where it's so difficult to be a child. I heard a while back of a child being targeted for looking, trying to do better by persons, and it ended in the person losing their life. It was so sad. But a child, the challenge for many children is to try to do better at the same time, not looking different from the US. And there's a culture in Trinidad and Tobago now where it is unpopular to be too smart and to be too intelligent and to strive to do well, you know, but not better than everybody else. And it really makes the life of a child very challenging, and the challenge extends outward to us as parents, where we cannot grasp the child too tightly, because just like a soap, it will slip through our hands. Similarly, if we too slack with them, that grip and all, they will slip. So you have to find a middle ground where the child is, you know, you're not grasping them too tight that you choke them, but at the same time you're not being slack that they'll be susceptible to other influences. Lamine Yamal is the mainstay of the Spain World Cup team, you know, and he's just 18 years old. Right now, India is in Sri Lanka, I believe, and there's a 15-year-old child that represents them. And I look at these children. There's a 13-year-old child that sang a song, a song that is so thing and all too. But she sang a song. She's on record. And I look at these things and I ask myself, when I was that age, what was I doing? And is nothing resembling what these children did. What these children are doing. So the challenges for us as parents and the challenges for them as children are very different to the when we were growing up. So I try to look at it from that perspective, and I'll listen up to your comments. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kirup. 625-2257, 627-3223 is the number. Now, Mr. Figaro and Mr. Dwaraka, if you can spend another 10 minutes with us, we can go further into how we find the common ground on how to regulate the use of social media with students, and also looking forward to the inevitable adaptation that we have to, you know, embrace, is the word I'm looking for, in terms of how the job space will change or has changed. All right?
Before we go into that, right, I just want to comment on the last speaker. And he's so right. He's so right, because, for example, I'm in my middle 50s, and I remember as a youth, the friends that I would have would be by the savannah. So we have 20, 30 friends by the savannah. So I go out I go out in the society, and I have about 20 or 30 friends there, right? But a child could be in his or her room alone and have thousands of friends on social media, right? So when I go out to the savannah many, many years ago, these 50 or so odd people would be impacting my life. So we'd be talking about different things and issues, experiences and whatnot. But today's society, a child could be at home in the privacy of their room and be interacting with thousands of children, thousands of other persons out there. And that, it's a frightening thing, and it's a critical thing, and it has to be managed going out there. It has to be managed properly, right? And that is something that we need to be mindful of. So our parent may say, listen, my daughter or my son, they always home, you know, they are no friends. I don't allow them to go out. I don't allow them to be in society where they could be influenced by this. But in the privacy of their room, they are being influenced by thousands of persons, right? If we don't look at their social media presence and what is happening and who are the persons that they are speaking to and interacting with on a daily basis. And that to me is a critical thing that we, you know, many of us overlook, right? And we just say that, you know, that they are home alone, but they are not alone.
All right.
There's somebody there.
We'll take a short break, and when we come back, we continue the conversation inside the Human Impact.
Are you tired of missing out on the latest news and updates on what's going on around you? Well, get ready to stay informed like never before with CNC3 7 p.m. News Live. Tune in every day at 7 p.m. and stay ahead of the game with the most accurate and reliable news coverage. The 7 p.m. News Live on CNC3, covering your world. Every weekday morning, Tosca Martinez brings you the stories that matter to you. On The Human Impact, tackling the issues of the day, exploring health and wellness that hits home, diving into powerful features, bold opinions, and a book club that keeps you thinking. It's thoughtful, it's fearless, and it's yours. Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 12 noon on Freedom 106.5 FM.
Speak your mind, Trinidad and Tobago, and let's make it count. The Human Impact, only on Freedom 106.5 FM.
This is Freedom 106.5 FM, 106.5 FM, your solution for current affairs and talk. Join the conversation today as we build a better nation. Insightful discussions and interviews on national progress, the latest developments in environmental, social, and governance, plus corporate social responsibility. Freedom 106.5 FM gives you a voice. Freedom to inspire. Freedom to change. Speak your mind with Freedom 106.5 FM. This is The Human Impact on Freedom 106.5 FM. Speak your mind.
Welcome back, TNT. We're inside the second hour of The Human Impact on Freedom 106.5 FM. And online, we have the Trinidad and Tobago Unified Teachers Association talking to us about the implementation or the beginning of a discussion of implementation on bans on social media platforms for teenagers and other young persons who are, you know, involved in these spaces. Now, the word social media encompasses all the platforms that technically can be used for on the outside, meaning the social environment and then the educational environment. And we've discussed how to separate the two to understand which platforms are really for education and then others where, unfortunately, there are persons who may be using it for the wrong reasons and threatening others and creating unsafe spaces. Now, of course, we have to take into consideration privacy and the role of parents. We've discussed that as well. The question of which age to start the ban on wasn't really answered, because I know that, as we said before, the platforms are used for both, unfortunately, for negative and also for positive implementations in education. Now, what I wanted to go back to with the contributions that were made in the last hour, precautions for teenagers. If found that there are nefarious people preying on unsuspecting young people and creating chats and platforms for that space of abuse, cyberbullying, catfishing, phishing, and other forms of abuse online, what would be the precautions or the way forward for parents to seek redress? Are there any laws that are existing at the moment so that consequences can be implemented to those found guilty of such?
Yes. Yes, they are. Actually, so the Children Protection Act, right, of 2012, it clearly states and all of those different things, grooming, any inappropriate contact verbally, physically, right, with children, definitely those things are punishable by law. So the law is already intact. And the law doesn't state whether it could be online or physically, right? The law, that Children Protection Act, it's really structured in such a way that it really protects the child. It really protects the child all the way around. And parents can go and make those reports. And persons who perpetrators, they will be persecuted. They will be persecuted. And also, I know you asked that specifically, but I also want to touch on cyberbullying as well, too. Mm-hmm. So we see now the Ministry of Education would have put out a new code of conduct. And this code of conduct clearly speaks to cyberbullying. And there are ways in which now that teachers and the school system actually have to deal with cyberbullying, right? Sanctions and there. And cyberbullying is really a true occurrence that is happening within our school systems in Trinidad and Tobago. We would have heard reports with children using social media to attack other children. And, you know, cyberbullying is really a very harsh form of bullying. Yeah? And let me tell you why. Now, bullying on the whole is unacceptable, unacceptable. But physical bullying, verbal bullying within the school system, when the school day is out and you go home, that's done, right? Until the next day. But now cyberbullying now makes it 24/7, right? Mm-hmm. And these children, they're so emotionally charged, right? That cyberbullying, there was even a report where we had an incident where a child committed suicide right in Trinidad here. Mm-hmm. And bullying was one of the factors that was put into the public domain as the reason for that being so. So again, if these things go unchecked, it would certainly lead to very, very adverse consequences. But to answer your original question, yes, there are laws in place to protect children. And if parents find that they are perpetrators, and even if, like the parent was given the example just now, the caller was given the example just now where the child was being catfished. We have the cybercrime unit, as we said. And the cybercrime unit, they will take their time, but they will decipher, they will find, and they will come to the bottom of it. And then those persons who found to be performing those acts, they would have a question to answer before the law.
Mm. Right. Just to continue where my comment would have left off, the Children's Authority, they would have produced a document, a guide for teachers in terms of assisting them to understand the various consequences of behaviors like that. So there is information out there, and a very important case, and I think that would have been a good few years ago, where a teenager, a primary school student actually, would have traveled with a private taxi, and he would have, for whatever reason, numbers were shared. And he called, and the mother answered. And of course, he was not too sure whether it was the mother or the child and would have had a conversation. The mother would have immediately gone to the police station and made a report, and that gentleman was arrested and charged for sexual grooming of a minor. So parents has to take responsibility in terms of that as well, for this to work, right? For the various laws that we have within Trinidad and Tobago to work in favor of the children that we have as well.
Mm. Now, one of the things that I like to ask in terms of these types of questions and scenarios is to really get down to the root cause of the problems. And you just mentioned one, grooming, etc. How can educational drives be done to assess what the root cause is? Is it self-esteem? Is it social settings? How can we address those things?
Right. So there's a multiplicity of issues, especially when we talk, when we are looking at human beings and children who are easily influenced by certain things, right? One of the greatest need of a teenager, especially, is to belong to a club, to belong to a particular group, to belong to a society, a school, right? And we need to monopolize on that. We need to monopolize on that. So, like, for example, we have some social media influencers within Trinidad and Tobago, and we see that a lot of the young people gravitate towards them. So what we would need to do is to use them, right, as a starter. We use them to reinforce positive use of social media, right, and consequences and issues and whatnot affecting them in the social media space. So we can have them talk about the consequences. We can have them talk about issues that could create problems for them, so that we use them to in that education drive going forward. And of course, it cannot be a one-time thing. It has to be all over. It has to be in the parental circles. It has to be in the teaching and education circles. It has to be in the social media circles. It has to be on the media, so that any side of the turn, they are faced with that information, so that they know and they understand the consequences, they understand the signs and the symptoms, so that they, from the time something happens or an individual speaks to them or approaches them in a particular way, red flag goes off, and they know that I can report it, and I can report it here, and I, you know, so that things could be done. So it's a, it cannot be an education drive that is only within the education system or within, let's say, the media. It has to be a holistic approach to education, so that it's all over. And not only the youths are aware of it, but the predators, they are also aware that these are the consequences of a behavior, so should I so engage in it.
Well, gentlemen, I would love to thank you so much for taking the time. Mr. Adish Dwarika, first vice president, and Mr. Nigel Figaro, second vice president of the Trinidad and Tobago Unified Teachers Association, in different departments as well. I'd like to thank you so much for taking the time to come on and tell us about this.
All right, thank you very much.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
All right, TNT.
You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.
106.5.